Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is both parts of Night of the Werewolf Woods. Night in, damn it. God damn it, this might not go well. Night in Werewolf Woods by R.L. Stine. It's a Give Yourself Goosebumps, the Choose Your Own Adventure series, and the choices will be chosen by Kevin Ghostwan of the Comics Online podcast.
Heyo, I'm here again.
Did you really do my intro?
Hello.
That's good. And a little bit of Conchetta. A
little bit.
Hi.
My girlfriend.
Yay.
He seemed very excited to be in a committed relationship with me. She might go upstairs in a little bit, because let me tell you, she didn't have much interest in this. So the other night I had sushi from a place that was... Wow, I'm using a cat tree to hold the mic, and the cat is now playing in the cat tree. Anyway, I had sushi from a place that had... It was like $6 for 18 rolls, and I was like, that is a deal! And it turns out it was not a deal. Got food poisoning in the middle of the night.
Was shocking.
Was up and down all night from the bed next to Conchetta and in the bathroom. And during the process of this, at one point, for the first time ever, I stepped on my cat fully. And this book I brought up to the cabin Connie and I were staying in, and was planning on maybe reading it up there. And it was sitting in my bag, and my cat retaliated by stepping on her by pissing in the bag I had sitting out, which this book was in. So this book smells like cat piss. That's my whole point.
All right.
So it's most, no matter what happens, it's going to be scariest for me as I'm holding it by my face, fanning it up my face, just reeking of cat piss. Right, baby?
Wonderful.
You are not into this, are you?
What? Do you want me to throw streamers in the air?
I would like you to give me a Busta Rhymes style woo-ha! Oh, do it. Sweetheart, will you please yell woo-ha? Thank you very much.
All right.
That's all I ask. All right. This is Give Yourself Goosebumps, number 5, Night in Werewolf Woods, by R.L. Stine. The great R.L. Stine. I'm sorry, I got to turn the pages from the bottom because of the piss. Now, this is going to be me actually reading. It's not me talking to you, Kevin, but you just get ready. Mm-hmm. Nerd alert! Nerd alert! We interrupted your perfect summer vacation at Deep Woods Lake to bring you this special nerd news. Your parents have invited their best friends, Mr. and Mrs. Morris, ooh, maybe Zach's involved, and their super nerd son, Todd, to share in the cabin with your family this year. You can't believe this shit. Your worst nightmare has come true. I had a nightmare last night that I broke all my teeth out in the intersection between... Narragansett and West Point Loma.
Wow.
Yep. This can't be happening, you say aloud as your family's minivan pulls up to Woods World. You've already spotted the Morris's car. It's parked beneath a string of colored lanterns hanging over the entrance to Woods World. It's probably Asian themed because that's what they do. That's what they're into. Woods World is the cabin community that your family has vacationed at every summer since you were a baby. You still piss yourself like a baby. Then you spot Todd. He's gawky, stringy haired, and wears thick black rimmed glasses. Oh, he's a hipster. Hey, what did you say? Todd calls to you. His big hand whirly birds out of the car window in a nerdy wave. Oh, even his wave is nerdy. Oh, you're so gross. How does anyone love you? I wasn't talking about the character. I was talking about you, Kevin. How does anyone love you? Please give me a tweet worth a response.
Yeah, it's usually with just hand stuff.
Okay. Be nice, your mom cautions. Yes, maybe Todd is different now, says your dad. Oh, he's different, all right, you moan. From everyone else on this whole fucking planet, he's different. Sorry, trying to avoid the piss. Your minivan and the Morris's car both roll up the gravel drive next to Evergreen Cabin. You gaze around. Nothing has changed since last summer. You know, like when you go to Arizona and you're like, why is it still 1992? The woods behind your cabin are still dark and deep. The sparkling blue lake in front of the cabin is smooth as glass. Speaking of glass, you know, Arizona, because they do a lot of meth.
Yeah, they do.
I don't understand how people in shitty places do so much meth.
There's nothing else to do.
Well, no, yeah, but you might as well sleep. You know? Why would you want to be awake longer in Arizona?
Well, when you do meth, you can find stuff to do.
I'm just saying, like if I was in Arizona, I would be addicted to Ambien. Yeah. I'd just get on a bus and just say, take me out of Arizona, anywhere you want to go. And I'd be like, fucking New Mexico, no! A narrow, sandy beach stretches into an easy curve around the shoreline of the lake. The sun was almost set, leaving behind a fiery pink-orange glow in the sky. There's enough daylight left for you to notice a note taped to the screen door of your cabin. Cool, you cry. You jump out of the car. That must be a note from my friends. You tell your parents. You sprint across the lawn and up the porch steps. You pull the note off the cabin door and turn to page motherfucking 3. You unfold the note. You read it out loud. Kids only campfire tonight. 8 p.m. at the beach. Signed, not a pedophile. Just kidding, it probably was, but I didn't say that. Wonderful, your mom cries as she hurries up behind you. It's only 7 o'clock. You can help unload the car and then go. This will be a perfect opportunity for the other Woods World kids to meet Todd. And a perfect opportunity for them to think I'm a nerd too because I'm with him. Oh no, guilty by association! You mutter, but no one hears you. Your parents, aunt, and Mr. and Mrs. Morris have gone inside the cabin. You watch Todd unload his stuff from the car. He gets a Kleenex and cleans it up. As he pulls out the red tin box, 3 very large red-haired boys bike up your driveway. They're the Murphy brothers, Jesse, Buck, and Sharky. Connie, we're naming our kid Sharky.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. We're naming him Sharky.
Sharky Murphy.
Sharky McKay.
Brock.
Oh, sorry. Brock is my number one name for a boy.
Ooh.
Brock McKay. How good's that? That's a man name.
Do not
what?
Brock is terrible.
Brock McKay.
It's awful.
Are you cutting this out, being as though you're using your name?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My real name is Dr. Anus McGintley. Welcome to the Woods World, nerdo, the oldest brother, Sharky. See, they use Sharky first. The other names, Jess and Buck, those were third and fourth choice.
You're not selling me.
Okay. Taunts Todd. Sharky is 15 and probably cool and attractive, and anyone who named Sharky would probably have their kid to be cool and attractive and not be born retarded. He looks as if he has been lifting weights since he was 2 years old. Last summer, a kid told you that Sharky got his nickname because getting into a fight with Sharky is like trying to survive a shark attack.
When I was a kid, some kids would bite, so I understand.
Oh, okay. I have never survived a shark attack. However, I've survived quite a few shark attacks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was there just as messy. I see you brought us a present, Sharky says to Todd. He grabs the tin box and tosses it to his younger brother, Jess. Hey, Todd shouts, that's my pewter figure collection. Bring that box back. Tears form in his eyes as the Murphy brothers pedal away, taking the box with them. Turn to page 12, because God forbid I turn to 4. This one has a choice and it's short, Kevin.
All right.
You try to pretend that you don't see Todd crying, but this kid is not a quiet sniffler. He's a loud sobber. Boo-hoo! Boo-hoo! Todd cries, tears spurt out of his eyes like a water main break in the middle of a main street. All right, you finally say. I'll go to the campfire and get your precious pewter collection back. I'm coming too, Todd says. He wipes his nose on his sleeve. Gross. You glance over at the porch. The parents are so busy talking, they don't even notice that Todd's tears are flooding the place. You notice, though. Now, you have to decide if you're going to bring Todd to the campfire or leave him to cry in the cabin. If you decide to ditch Todd and go to the campfire alone, turn to page 9. If you decide to drag Todd with you to the campfire, turn to page 6. Kevin, well, Connie.
I'm going to say, see, here's the thing. You know, you got, like earlier today when we had Fred over,
That was terrible.
I'm an inclusive guy until it hurts. So I say, you know, he's being a crybaby, but whatever. Well, you know, let's stick it out.
Okay, we're dragging Todd with us. You know what that means? We're turning to urine-soaked page six.
All right.
How's that sound, Connie?
Disgusting.
Uh-huh. You can't help feeling sorry for Todd. You decide to take him to the campfire. Maybe if those Murphy brothers see you crying, they'll feel sorry for you, too, you tell Todd. I'm making him feel like a little bitch. There. They are the meanest boys I've ever met, Todd wails. He takes a package of tissues out of his shorts pocket and blows his nose. Loud. The package of tissue has weird, gross hentai characters like the tissues they give you at Comic-Con that Connie didn't know what they're for, but I know, and they're horrifying, and I hate those people. Really, Todd, you say. You'll scare them with your honking more than they could ever scare you. I just want my pewter collection back. It's my most precious possession. As soon as Todd says this, the faucets open up again. He can't stop crying. Why? He's just like a Holocaust survivor. I can't go to the camp, he sobs. My sinuses are all clogged now. You'll have to face them alone, I guess. Alone? You repeat, cheering up immediately. Without you, Todd? I'm sorry, Todd weeps. I just don't feel like going to the party tonight. If you insist, you say happily. And turn to page 9. Ooh, this smells like urine.
Zach.
Wow.
I'm sorry, dude.
My name is Shardy McFly. I love you.
I love you, too.
Aww.
You leave Todd to cry alone in the cabin. You stay here and unpack your stuff, you say to Todd. I'll go to the campfire and get the box back for you. You hurry out the cabin door. You head for the usual campfire spot at the south end of the beach. That's where the nudist beach is.
Yeah?
A giant fire is already blazing when you arrive, getting hecka 420'd.
Yeah, it is.
You see your friend, Lauren Woods. But it's called Woods World. Oh, god damn it. Her parents own Woods World.
Shit.
So I spoke to Sam like a fucking asshole. She and the regular crowd of Woods World kids are sitting around the fire listening to Sharky Murphy tell a creepy story. And remember the legend of the werewolves, Sharky is saying mysteriously. At first, you may think you are talking to a friend, then, when the full moon comes out from behind a cloud, you'll see hair begin to grow on his back and realize he's Armenian. it grows on his face. Fangs take the place of teeth. A voice that once was human turns to a beastly howl. Howoo! Sharky pauses and lowers his voice to a whisper. Look, he says, the full moon is out tonight. This is a perfect night for the werewolves of Woods World to appear. No one is safe here. Not now. Not ever. Page 28. This one has an option. Sharky laughs, an evil laugh, as he finishes his story. The kids sitting around the campfire study each other's faces, searching for hair, or maybe fangs. Or maybe someone they can hook up with this and do a little hand stuff. Am I right at camp? Yeah. I never went to camp, I assume. Scarlet!
I went to sixth grade camp.
I went to sixth grade camp as well. As clouds cover the full moon, the campfire party breaks. Everyone says goodnight. Loren, it says Lauren, but there's a pause between pages, and I'm used to hanging out with Loren.
Aww.
I like one. Lauren Woods laughs as she calls you. Nighty night. Don't let the werewolves bite. Did you ever see a werewolf, Sharky? One of the younger kids asks before he leaves. Laughs Sharky. My brother and I saw plenty of werewolf tracks in the woods just before we came to this campsite. Isn't that right, Jess? When we were out there smoking weed out of a Dr. Pepper can that we dented the can in, that we poked some holes in it. We smoked heck a pot and got blazed as shit. Yeah, the youngest Murphy brother says. We saw the wolf tracks when we were burying that nerdy kid's box. So, you think to yourself, they buried Todd's box, but where? You promise to get the box back for Todd, but Should you go out alone tonight when the moon is full? If you decide to look for the box tonight, turn to page unlucky number 13. Ooh! If you decide to go back to the cabin, maybe pound off a little bit and watch some, what? I meant like masturbate. If you decide to go back to the cabin, turn to page 71. Also, there's no masturbation if you turn to page 71. Connie wanted me to make that very clear.
You're so charming.
Thank you, baby.
So, I kind of think that...
masturbation is necessary.
Well,
the questions are... the questions are, do you want to go on an adventure? Do you want to go sleepy night-night?
Do you want to go pound off and go to sleep? Or do you want to
go... By the way, the pounding off is not involved. I feel like you're still adding that into your calculation.
Look, it matters. It's a part of life. Just deal with it.
I know when to hold him and know when to fold him.
Yeah, you do.
Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
Yeah.
I never, not once have I ever counted my money when I'm sitting at the table. Because there's time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's
point is, we all agree that we should go inside and look for the box tonight in the full moon, right?
So my thing, my what I was going to get at was we should probably look for some box.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all.
It's a good joke. This box is synonym for vagina, just like every other word in the world. Unless you make it plural, then it's boobs.
Boxes is boobs?
No, I'm just saying box, like every other word, could mean vagina.
Oh, yeah.
But if any other word in the plural sense
is
vagina. Yeah, look. Hey, how about those blankets? It's boobs. Anything.
I would hope that nobody would ever call my boobs blankets.
Oh, that'd be awful. Then they'd be flat and hanging, right?
Yeah.
That'd be awful.
Floppy.
Sorry,
but
listeners.
But I'm just saying, anything in plural is boobs, yes?
I guess I'm...
Hey, let me grab onto them hammocks. I like to swing on those.
Hangy and floppy and swinging.
Those for all the reindeer, right? Hangy, floppy, swingy.
I thought they were the seven dwarfs.
Also, the parents of this child, just saying.
Point is, turn to page 13.
Yeah.
A promise is a promise. You promised Todd you would get his box back tonight.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to find his ex-girlfriend.
All right.
Give me some nucks. am I going anywhere? You decide you have to go into the woods alone. What?
Lauren Woods?
No, you're not going into the girl woods. You're going into the woods.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, that's where he smokes pot. Okay. It's no big deal, you think to yourself. I've been coming to Woods World forever. I've never seen werewolves here before. Yeah, but you've never been in a fucking Goosebumps book before, you know? You just never take that into account, you know? If I was in a Goosebumps book, I knew some shit was in a... you follow the Murphys up a gravel path to the woods. You hope they'll lead you to the box. The only problem is the Murphys are nowhere in sight. They have sprinted up the path in darkness. You peer ahead, but see... nothing.
I once knew a Murphy. She never would give up the box. Just saying.
First off... That's a bad joke. And second off, if I know anything about Irishmen.
Never mind.
The full moon is behind a cloud. Total darkness surrounds you like a thick blanket. Like boobs. The woods are silent tonight. Even the rakins and other night creatures seem to have gone to bed already. That was a Trailer Park Boys joke you didn't get. Where Ricky realizes that there's animals eating his weed plants, and he has a, like, book that says, like, A is for apple, B is for bear, and stuff. And then one of them's raccoons. And he goes, now all the animals are eating all my weed plants. It's the goddamn rakins. They're eating all my dope.
Oh, and that was in another Goosebumps, too, didn't you say, get rakins?
Yep. Nothing is out here. Nothing. Except me. You say softly yourself, how wow 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 wow! You whirl around. What made that horrible noise? You glance to your right. You glance to your left. Nothing. You continue along the path. The gravel crunches under your sneakers, and then you see it. A light flickering ahead. Go to page 106.
Thinking maybe you're the werewolf.
My mom says the back hair is natural and it's totally acceptable.
A candle burns in a jar next to a large boulder of crack cocaine on the side of the path. As you hurry closer, a breeze makes the flame flicker. You can't light the crack while your flame is flickering. It just won't work. Smoking rocks? There. A note taped to a large rock. You bend down and grab the note. Did someone leave this for you? You draw the candle close, squinting in the darkness to read the writing. Wax drips, then hardens on the side of the jar as you read the note out loud.
I have to get a drink for this.
Dear Dune, we love it when you read us goosebumps. Love everyone.
The werewolves of Woods World, they love to see red. So the box that was Todd's is now their box instead. The werewolves of Woods World disappear at dawn, so you must find the box before the night is gone. Swag, 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 brr, blang, dang, 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 swag. Oh, I added those extra things, you know. The brr was Gucci Mane's.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Werewolves? This must be a joke, you tell yourself, but you can't help gazing into the darkness. Star Trek 2, Into Darkness, searching. You hold your breath and listen. You hear the cracking of twigs, footsteps. You're not alone after all. Someone, or something, is out here with you.
It's probably just Connie.
This one doesn't have a choice either. Hopefully the next one does. Quickly, you duck down behind an old tree stump. You listen for the footsteps again. They're closer now, but in darkness you can't tell exactly where they're coming from. Your heart pounds like a jackhammer. Jackhammering hearts. I added the jackhammering hearts because that makes it seem like it's pounding even more. Footsteps. Closer. Closer. You let me violate you. Boom. Closer. Ah! You scream. Real monsters. A hand is on your shoulder. You're afraid to look. Hey? Hey? What do you say? Todd's voice rhymes through your scream. It's just me. I came to find you. After all, it's my box and I should help you find it. I can't believe...
she said.
Oh, yeah. Nuts.
I can't believe this guy. He just scared you out of your wits. And he's still talking about the stupid box. You catch your breath and try to slow your heartbeat down to normal. Get a life, Todd. You snap at him. You shouldn't sneak up on me like that, fucking asshole dick douche. I just wanted to help find the box, Todd whines. Look, I even brought a flashlight. Oh, good flashlight. You didn't have fucking batteries in that shit. That's a fucking crap flashlight. It's a crap light.
It's a flashlight.
It's a flashlight. What are you gonna do with a flashlight? You're glad it's Todd and not a werewolf. In fact, you're glad for any company on a night like this. Follow me. You say, like every asshole in Counter-Strike. Which way? Todd asks. I'll tell you which way. All the way to page 75. There's no urine on this one. And no choice on this one either. This way, you answer. Toward the two red lights, you lead the way through a wall of thorny bushes.
More like horny bush.
There should be a path to the beach around here somewhere, you say. Youch! Todd cries. These stupid thorns are scratching me up. Better watch out. You don't bleed too much, you joke. You don't want those werewolves to catch scent of the fresh blood. Wow. This is just like... Harry Potter and the fucking book where the fucking werewolves come out and shit.
Did Hermione have her period? I just thought that's where you were going. Sorry, go on.
No, I was talking about goddamn Harry Potter and the, Alright, so we got so much harsh down.
Blood tampon.
That is not a book!
It is now.
Todd's knees tremble as two of you push through the overgrown vines and shrubs. Get a razor, girl. Are you sure this is the path? Todd asks. It's so dark out here, I can't see a thing. Before you answer, you hear, ow, 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 ow! This time the terrifying noise is very, very close. Oh no! Todd whines. This
It just says what. I didn't. This is not even close to what. Sorry. What was that sound? Try not to panic for Todd's sake. Ooh, maybe Todd's God. You flip on the flashlight switch. Darkness still surrounds you. Maybe you're African American. You hit the flashlight in your hand. Once. Twice. Still no light. Third time. Still no light. 18th time. Stop pressing it. Stupid batteries, you mumble. But even without light, you notice the ground under your feet changing from dry to slippery and very slimy. Where are you? Turn to page 4.
You're in the box.
Gross. This one has an option and it's short and it smells like urine. It's a cave! In all the summers I've been coming to Woods World, you say to Todd, I never knew there was a cave here. Let's check it out with Steve Brule. Then you hear a voice from somewhere deep in the cave, a voice calling your name.
Dune!
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 Shardy McFly! Dr. Anus McGintley!
Drunkle Stiltskin!
Drunkle Stiltskin! Thank you for naming all my names. You think the voice sounds like Sharky Murphy, but you can't be sure. Hello? You answer. You start to move forward into the deep, black cave. Todd tugs you back. Don't go in, he warns. Again, the voice from inside you calls your name. You feel pulled by the voice and pulled by Todd at the same time. What the fuck is going on? Get in, go in, or stay out. To answer the call of the cave, turn to page 81. Two choice. If you feel safer listening to Todd and staying out of the cave, go to page 37. To answer the call of the cave, turn to page 81. If you feel safer listening to Todd and staying out of the cave, turn to page 37.
I think you know that I'm always trying to get in the cave. Am I right? Connie knows.
You fuck incredibly slutty girls. I'm always trying to just get in that giant, giant cave with my tick-tick of a cock. Tick-tack.
Tick-tack.
I'm way too drunk to be reading this.
No, you did great. It's normal. This is normal.
Mm-hmm. I say we go in the cave because I was in some nerd, you know?
Yeah.
This is the story of 81.
I thought we were going to sing that song.
I don't know how the song goes. Ooh, this one has an option, dude. Ooh! Come on, Todd.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, sorry, there's a comma there. Come on, Todd, you say. You reach over and hold on to his arm. We're going into the cave. We're not going to let those Murphy brothers scare us, are we? We aren't, gulps Todd. I mean, no, we aren't. A thin beam of moonlight shines into the mouth of the cave. You see that the floor is pure slime. You take one step forward. Your feet fly up into the air. You land flat on your stupid fucking back and bring Todd down with you. Then, you and Todd start sliding faster and faster. When he dips, you dip, we dip. He puts his hand upon your hip, and then he dips yours, and you dip his.
It sounds like an enjoyable time we're having.
Uh-huh. Then, you and Todd start sliding faster and faster. Whoa. Sorry, I lost track of this. Whoa. I had to hit each one of those.
I admire your accuracy.
Thank you. Your two voices bled into one fucking cunt voice. I'm glad you admire my accuracy. You squeeze your eyes shut like a chink. You feel as if you're sliding down the world's steepest water slide like the American economy. Down, down you go. Faster, faster. You and Todd zoom down a slime-slicking tunnel into total darkness. Just when you think your body can't take one more second of the wild ride, it ends with a grand slam, bam, with extra sausage. You smash into a wet cave wall. If you open your eyes now, go. Page 85. If you can't bear to look, keep your eyes closed and try for page 7.
I'm pretty sure this is a metaphor for little campsite anal with Todd.
I don't feel that way at all.
No?
No, I do.
It pretty much is.
Okay, so if you open your eyes now, go to page 85. If you can't bear to look, keep your eyes closed and turn to page 7.
Connie? After anal with Todd, after really giving it to him good, would you want to open your eyes?
I would pretty much want to kill myself.
If you open your eyes now, go to page 85. If you can't bear to look, keep your eyes closed and try to turn to page 7.
No, let's definitely open the eyes.
Yeah. All right. We're Americans, you know?
Faux show.
We didn't bomb Pearl Harbor. We'll open our eyes all the way.
This is one of those times where he would sing chapter whatever the fuck.
Page 85. You thud and hit the cave wall with a giant thud. You both open your eyes at the same time and see the same eerie sight. Your grandmother's tits.
Damn. Oh, too much.
Eyes. Hundreds, no thousands, of bright yellow eyes. Oh, hello, priest. Eyes on the ceiling, eyes on the walls, eyes on the floor. Bats, Todd exclaims. He sounds more amazed than scared. They won't hurt us. I studied all about them for a science project. You're not so sure Todd's right. Two bats fly right by your stupid fucking ugly face. Their yellow eyes whiz past you like shooting stars. Their flapping of their wings do shit, and they fucking do stuff, and it fucking creeps you out and shit. You whip your head around to move out of the bat's flight path. As you duck down, you feel bat wings brushing across your face. Then, tiny claws catch your hair. Then, they fly away, yanking out small clumps of your hair as they go. Bats surround you. You turn to find Todd. It's hard to see through the thousands of flapping black wings. Where the fuck is he? Turn to page 42. This one has a choice. Todd is standing next to you. He is just as surprised. Todd is standing next to you. He is just as surrounded by the beastly bats as you are, but Todd is acting as if they're butterflies instead of bats. He's even reaching out his hands to the... That was my gross bat noise. A sudden gust of wind blows through the cave. You fart. The bats beat their wings furiously. Each creates an instant whirlpool. The force pulls Todd backwards. You can't believe your own eyes. Todd is being sucked into a tunnel. A tunnel filled with yellow bat eyes. Todd! You scream. Bats! Bats! Everywhere, bats! Todd yells as you watch him being drawn deeper and deeper into the tunnel. They're beautiful. You knew this kid was weird. Now, what are you supposed to do? Go down the tunnel of eyes after Todd, or... turn back and run for help like a little bitch. The eyes have it. If you turn to page 47. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. For help! Turn to page 19. So you're going to go after him or you're going to go for help like a little faggot?
Well, do the bats say things like, you know, because I'm fucking in love with her, man, okay?
What are you talking about?
That's a Ben Affleck joke, as bats. Never mind. Yeah, we go after him. Definitely.
That was a new Batman reference.
That was Chasing Amy quote.
You're obviously not chasing humor.
Aww. Yes, we go after him. Of course we're going to go after him. Come on, he's our bro.
Page 47.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's another choice as well. You know you have to try to save Todd from the bats, even if he doesn't realize he needs saving. Even if it means you have to face millions of bat faces yourself. You step into the tunnel. You don't even try to fight the power of the tunnel's air currents. You let your body be sucked into the open mouth of the black hole. Immediately, you hear thwap of bat wings. Thwap! The sound is so close to your ears, it's fucking deafening and shit. God damn it! You flap your own arms back at the bats. This clears the way in front of you. Now, you can see the choice you must make. There are two more tunnels. At the end of this tight, squeezed passageway, sexual organs choke. Above the sound of the bat wings, you hear the roaring and rushing of waves of water. The sound is coming from the tunnel on the left. And from the tunnel on the right comes a wicked howling that can only be one thing. Wolves. To tackle the tunnel of waves, go to page 51. To brave the tunnel of wolves, go to page 130. I'd like to remind you that the cover has a bunch of wolves on it.
Yeah, this is not the wave book.
Yeah.
So it seems like the wave is a dead end.
Yeah, what is this, a wave book?
Right.
Excuse me. Did someone call a wave book? Because this isn't it.
He just put the piss book on his face. I just wanted to let everybody know about that.
I need to go bathe in peroxide.
Yeah, we want to go after the wolf one.
Do you agree?
Oh, yes.
Page 130.
The choice of words in this is, there's a lot of tunnels and mouths and stuff.
This was when his wife left him, and he's just like, and there's this tunnel, and it's slippery, and please take me back, I won't fuck up again. You have entered the tunnel of wolves. Now, you hear a bone chilling, how wow 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 wow, again, how wow 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 wow, only this time, isn't exactly bone-chilling. It sounds more like a chalk screeching on a blackboard. I call them African-American boards. I don't think that's a werewolf howl, you say out loud. Then you see a very surprising sight. It's Todd. He looks awful. Ugh. Speaking of African-American, his hair is covered in slime dropped by the slugs in the cave ceiling. Once again, hair covered in slime. Speaking of African-American, his geeky face is completely white and his mouth is open in a howling, ooh, shape. Todd, you shout, startling him out of his howling. Are you totally nuts? What the fuck are you doing? I'm making the werewolves think that I'm one of them, Todd answers in a terrified and shaky voice that he's never used before. I heard them running. I'm going to slowly transition back into my other voice. I didn't know what to do, so I thought, howling. I don't believe it, you say. Todd, are you? Then you hear the werewolves too. They're running, but which way? Toward you or away from you? I really wish he said away from you or toward you, because that would have been much more meaningful.
Dramatic.
Page 68, which is the almost hottest sexual position in the world. 68, dude!
Love you, bud.
The werewolves! Todd shouts. Start howling! You grab Todd's shoulders and give him a good shake. Snap out of it, bitch! You order him. It's either howl or one, he insists, and we don't know which way the werewolves are heading. There's only one more choice, Todd, you reply. You point to a stream of light at the end of yet another goddamn tunnel. It looks as if it might be the way out. There, you say. Oh, yeah, sure, Todd says nervously. I already saw that tunnel. I also saw that giant hole in the floor between us and the way out. Just listen to this. Todd drops a loose stone into the hole. The two of you wait to hear the bottom.
Give it to me. Give it to
it
me.
It never hits the goddamn bottom. A bottomless pit, Todd announces. Oh my goodness, it's like Kevin at Hometown Buffet. How whoa, 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 whoa! This time the howling isn't coming from Todd. He's too busy talking about the pit. It's the werewolves, Todd shouts. Start howling! No, jump! You shout just like House of Pain. If you howl to save yourself, turn to page 33. If you jump across the bottomless pit, leap to page 111.
What do you think, Connie? Jump in the pit or jump over the pit?
No, it says, if you howl to save yourself, turn to page 33. If you jump across the bottomless pit, leap to page 111. If you howl to save yourself, turn to page 33. If you jump across the bottomless pit, leap
jump
to...
across.
Yeah, I'm with it. I don't think howling is going to do any good.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I went to Italy and tried to speak Italian and failed, and they were like, no, just don't try to talk like us. So the werewolves are probably Italian. They don't want to hear somebody else trying to speak their language. That's insulting to them.
I feel like you're trying to shoehorn in the fact that you went to Italy once.
I just want to be closer to you and Connie in your Italianness.
Would you like me to shave off some back hair and glue it on you?
Yes, that'd be great.
Want me to get you an Italian horn necklace so you can look like a sleazy bastard?
Yeah, can I just borrow yours?
I don't have one because I am ashamed of being Italian. We have to jump across the pit, you insist. It may be the only way out of this godforsaken shithole of a place. I can't do it, Todd whines. You'll have to go first. As soon as you hear the howling again, all your nervousness disappears. Come on, faggot, you cry. The werewolves are getting closer. Without a word, you back up a few steps and take a running leap. It's so dark you can't be sure if you're making it across the pit or not. All you know is you're flying through the air. In seconds, your feet land on solid ground. Dirt crumbles under your heels. You are half on and half off the edge of a goddamn pit. Woo-ha! You cry, swaying back and forth over the open pit. Don't leave me! Todd screams like a total virgin. I'm trying my best not to. You snap. You fall forward onto the ground in front of you. Whew! That was close. You can't finish the sentence because what you see standing behind Todd is making your mouth wide open, do mouth open things. Smooth, huh? Turn to page 41. Ooh, I wonder if their mouth is doing mouth open, do wide things.
Yeah, they are.
Werewolves! There are werewolves behind you! You manage to scream. Jump around! Jump around! Jump up and get down!
Jump!
Look, all I'm saying is that I'm you know, making shots like John McEnroe, and if your girl steps up, I'm smacking the hoe.
Wow.
Word to your moms, I came to drop bombs. I got more rhymes than the battles got psalms. Jump, Todd, jump! You fumble with the faulty flashlight. This time, it goes on. You point the flickering beam just past Todd's slug-slimed head. You aim for the eyes of the snarling beast. Yes, it's working. The light, it's hypnotizing them. Like Notorious B.I.G. featuring Puff Daddy, hypnotize me. You shout, hurry, jump across, just like all 90s rap artists did. Todd cries as he glances back and finds himself eyeball to eyeball with the were-fucking-wolves. Jump, you yell. Jump, Crisscross will make you jump. Daddy Mac will make you jump. Mac Daddy make you jump, jump. As the werewolves reach out for him, Todd jumps. You lean over the edge of the gaping pit and grab for Todd's outstretched hand. You stretch your own arm as far as you can, and... If you catch Todd, turn to page 80. If you don't catch Todd, plunge to page 61. That's a weird choice that doesn't seem like you have any control over.
Right, it's like a die roll.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that we catch him.
Connie?
Let the bitch fall.
But you fall with him.
That's fine.
Kevin?
Catch him, God. Catch him.
You don't have to catch him all. You're not actually catch him. I'm not Gary Oaking you.
These jokes are making me feel misty.
You make my...
Misty likes it. Bulgosaur.
And we go back to the Brock situation.
Hell, yeah, we.
It's not happening.
Page 80. You caught me, Todd exclaims, grabbing your hand. We caught each other. You sputter. Your hands grasp Todd's hands over the center of the hole. Oh no, we're fa-a-a-a-a-a-a-a-a-a-ing. I don't know what to do with. With hyphens.
Huh.
I stay fly. Sipping on some scissor. Sorry. That's unrelated. I can't walk! Todd shrieks. Oh, brother. You think. as you feel your arms and legs become all tangled up with Todd's stupid arms and legs. Just my luck. Of all the people in the world I could have fallen into a bottomless pit with, it has to be Todd Morris. Ah, right, let's play 20 questions.
Okay.
That was a Bill and Ted reference. Huh? They fall into a bottomless pit, get bored of yelling, and then play 20 questions. Down. Down. Up. Just kidding. Down you fall. I added that.
Franklin. Down.
Spinning and tumbling, head over heels, over heads and heels, and you're just fucking spinning and shit with no end in sight. Todd sticks to you like syrup to pancakes. That's really what it says.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't like eating pancakes in the morning. I love pancakes, but I hate if you get any syrup in your hand the rest of your day, your hand smells like fucking syrup and it's just nauseating.
Awful. You gotta wash them right away.
You know I don't wash my hands.
No, I'm pretty sure you do.
No, that's why Connie loves me.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yep. My hands just smell like syrup and mustard all the time. And now that you think of it, he's probably getting that syrupy slug juice all over you, too. You're not sure which is worse, having Todd glued to you or being slimed by slugs. You have plenty of time to think about it, since you'll be free falling for quite a while, just like Tom Petty. Turn to page 38.
Free falling.
This falling thing is starting to get boring. With no bottom to this pit, there's nothing to look forward to. Since there's nothing to see down below, you and Taz, you and that asshole gaze up and shit. You immediately are hit in the eye with drops of some liquid. Ow! Skeet, 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 motherfucker! Yikes! Todd screams. There's a whole pack of werewolves up there. Todd's right. At the rim of the pit, butthole, 20 or more hungry wolves are leaning into the hole. Their drops, those drops that hit you in the eye were drops of drool dripping from the fangs of hairy beasts. Hey, you know, I'm doing... Gross! The werewolves want food, and you and Todd are it. You can feel their fire-red eyes staring at you. A hot glob of drool hits the top of Todd's ear and reminds him of his weird times with his uncle. Ah, disgusting! He moans. He pulls his hand away from your arm to wipe off the steaming drool. Uh-oh. Todd is falling away from you. You're both on your own now. Page 102.
So you had enough time...
Now, skeet, 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 skeet! Yeah. Motherfucker! You hear from the darkness below you. It's Todd, and he sounds very far away. You have lost him now for sure. Too bad, you think sadly. I'm just starting to get used to that fucking douchebag asshole piece of shit. Goodbye, Todd! You call as loudly as you can. I'm sorry I said you were a nerd. I really like you, you know, honest. Unlike Kevin, he's still a nerd and a douchebag. Aww. With tears in your eyes, you call out one last, bye, Todd. I'll miss you. Really, I will. You really will miss me? A happy voice calls out unexpectedly right next to her fucking ear. Or your ear. Wow, that was swell. Huh? What's going on in this bitch? Turn to page 93. That's actually what it says.
Ooh, this and we're still choice. Falling?
Free falling. Todd! You exclaim with your... God, I'm out of beer.
What are you drinking tonight, Dune? Normally you describe this.
Everything for the last goddamn 12 hours.
Love you.
Todd! You exclaim... When you hear his voice right next to you, what the fuck is happening? How did you catch up so fast? How did I catch up so fast? You didn't, Todd laughs. We caught up to you. Before Todd can say more, you realize that you are no longer falling. You and Todd are both sitting on the back of some giant winged thing, just like the other Harry Potter movie. Mm. What the? You start to ask. It's a pterodactyl. See, I wasn't tripped up by the fact that pterodactyl starts with P.
Oh.
I can do, like, three impressions in the world.
Yeah.
One of them is pee-wee.
I brought another piece of foil for your foil ball. Pee-wee, I want to be the baby.
It's Terry from Pee-wee's Playhouse. That's like one of my only impressions. That sounds like Terry, right?
Yes.
Pee-wee.
And?
That's it. Todd explains.
What? Yes. I thought there were three.
I can do Al Gore.
Okay.
I did that for the Internet Police show we pitched a while back.
All right.
I would like to hear that.
And I can do you.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goodkin.
Did it sound exactly like him? Todd explains. Probably preserved in this pit for century. The huge prehistoric flying reptile is moving its head. First up, then down. It seems to be asking you to choose which way you want to go. Up or down. To fly up to the werewolves, soar to page 116. To go down to the unknown. Zoom to page 88.
Connie.
To fly up to the werewolf, soar to page 116. To go down to the unknown. Zoom.
Fly up.
Up.
Really, I would have gone down.
Yeah, you would.
Oh,
well, yeah.
This story to last forever.
Go up, you command. I think I'm going to, Todd says in a queasy voice. I said go up, not throw up, asshole, you yell. The pterodactyl instantly points its head upward and flaps its wings hard. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, B, A, start, up, up, you rise. You soar through the darkness at speeds you never thought possible.
Wow!
Todd exclaims. This thing really moves! He's right. In fact, as you look up, you realize that the pterodactyl has moved so fast you're almost at the mouth of the bottomless pit. And you're also almost at the mouth of a pack of angry, hungry, fucking eat-worthy fucking... They're werewolves. Mm-hmm. Eat-worthy is not a word and I regret using it.
I like it.
I do too.
I find the salad you made me for dinner, baby. Eat worthy.
It was eat worthy.
Thank you.
Their fang-filled mouths are watering. Turn to page 15. What? There's no choice on this one. Will you pour me some more beer in that cup?
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that thoroughly. I'm sorry. It's you know, it's just a one-take Jake kind of thing. The other cup. That one has my water. Right there. You have your hands on it. This page is covered in urine. Ow, 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 ow! You hear the werewolves howl in the not-so-distant distance. Ow! Todd moans as the pterodactyl flies up and out of that shit pit. It's just said pit, but I added shit pit because it sounded better, huh? The flying reptile tips sideways. It drops you and Todd on the ground right by the werewolves. You land right in front of the werewolves' feet. The wolves are pacing and circling. Some are on all four legs. Some are standing upright on two hind legs. Some are just hopping up and down on one leg doing the hokey pokey. I'm kidding, it doesn't say that. It doesn't mention the hokey pokey. Their growls and howls bounce off the walls of the cave and hit your ears like a pair of cymbals clashing. Woo! What an odor these wolves give off. They smell a lot like this book. You have never smelled anything so bad in your life. A hand on your shoulder causes you to spin around. You are face to face with... And you really can't believe this shit. Turn to page 20. Thank you for the beer. I appreciate that. Yeah. No, we're not 21. Mm-hmm. This one has a choice, though. Mm-hmm. You rub your eyes to make sure you're not seeing things that aren't really there. But you're not. What you think you see is really there. What a shock. God, these are all like filler sentences. All three Murphy brothers. The Dropkick Murphy brothers. Right here, inside the cave, covering Flogging Mauling Song.
And the Pogues?
You leave the Pogues out of this. They're a fantastic band. Well, that explains the smell in here. You whisper to Todd, completely unaware of the fact that you're about to be consumed alive. What the fuck are you making jokes for? It isn't the werewolves, it's the Murphys who smell. You see the Murphys, but they don't see you. They're too busy defending themselves from the werewolves. Jess is holding a rock and is ready to heave it at the werewolves if they come close and shit. Suddenly, when the wolves leaps forward, it pushes three Murphy's brothers into the center of the pack of werewolves. You never see the Murphy brothers look so scared. They don't look like bullies now. Now, they look like regular kids. Regular, terrified kids, that is.
You can set that down. Thank you.
Yeah. Ooh. Regular, terrified kids.
Mm-hmm. For a second, you think, well, it serves them right. They're the ones who got us into this shithole of a mess. But, in the next second, you feel kind of sorry for them. Decisions, decisions. What will you do? Try to help the Murphys? Or let the werewolves have them sexually? Oh, sorry, I didn't say sexually. I just wrote that in pencil. Actually, now that I look at it, I wrote it in highlighter. That was completely inappropriate. Lend a hand? Page 84. Throw the Murphys to the goddamn wolves. Page 87. Conchetta? Are you going to help human beings or are you going to let them be eaten by werewolves?
I would like them to be eaten by werewolves.
Are you saying that because you want to go to bed?
I'm saying that because we're overpopulated.
I agree. But they're Irish people, you know? It's not like they're bad people.
Well, then they need to live.
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah, I was thinking that you want to be nice, you know, following with that and as well as, you know, they're the Murphys, so do it.
Well, of course you're too nice to throw anyone to the wolves, even the Murphys, but while you give the idea a moment of serious thought, something very strange happens. Instead of clawing and biting and tearing at the bodies of the three Murphy's bullies, the wolves hug them. They even kiss them. They even do hand stuff to them. They pat them on the back and give big fang smiles at all three brothers. The werewolves are treating the Murphys like family. Look at that, you say to Todd. Oh, Todd. Look at that shit, you say to Todd in Dune's voice. The Murphys are so mean because it runs in the family. The werewolf family. That explains why the Murphys smell just like a pack of dirty, hairy, scary werewolves, you continue with a laugh. A simple case of wolfatosis. Todd laughs at your jokes, but there's nothing funny about having the fucking werewolf's hot breath blowing in your face. You'd better start running. Or, for you and Todd, it's sure to be the end. On your back.
Yeah.
What was the last page that we were on?
There was throw the Murphys to the wolves or not.
Throw the Jew down the well.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't it, but yeah. Throw the Murphys to the wolves. So obviously we're going to throw them to the wolves and get the fuck out.
Alright, 87. So we already died once.
Yeah.
Throw the Murphys to the wolves, so my country can be free. All right. Sorry, Sharky, you say. You have to help us, Sharky calls out when he spots you and Todd. We didn't mean any harm. Now the werewolves see you. You have to think fast. Tell me where the box is, and I'll save you all. And shit, you shout above the growls and snarls. The werewolves have it, Buck Murphy cries out. That's why we came here. Yeah, we are trying to get it back for your friend or whoever that asshole is, Jess explains. You watch in horror as the werewolves lick their chops, rows of sharpened fangs glistening in the glow of the werewolves' red eyes. They are ready for the Murphy's feast. Please, Sharky begs, help us. Please. 27, babe. I need some water, sweetheart. Just yell things while I drink.
Would you like me to get this? Oh, you have some?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that kind of accounted for yelling things. Then you see the thing that started this trouble. The red tin box. Buck was telling the truth. The werewolves do have the box. Todd, look! You cry out. You point to the box, resting at the feet of the fiercest werewolf. My pewter collection! Todd exclaims. When he sees the box, he forgets for a moment that the danger is only inches away. The werewolves' tongues hang out between the pointed, oversized teeth. The smell of their hot breath makes you feel sick. The pterodactyl from the bottomless pit swoops past you. The flapping of the wings and the flapping of the hands sends dust and dirt flying from the ground. The werewolves tuck their faces under their fur-covered arms, trying to keep the clouds of dirt away from their fucking stupid red eyes. While the werewolves' heads are buried in their arms, you and Todd crawl between their hairy legs. You grab the tin box. Then you sprint to a corner, out of the wolves' immediate sight. Got it, you cry, clutching the box to your chest. Turn to page 124. This book sucks.
Why do we care about the box anymore?
It has taken a lot longer.
You throw open the red tin box and look at the pewter figure collection for the first time. Awesome! You cry when you see the treasure. Inside the box are the most finely crafted, beautiful, jeweled pewter figures you've ever seen, because you don't play Warhammer. Yes, you say to Todd. Sorry. It was definitely worth the trouble. Each figure is in its own velvet-lined compartment. You can't resist taking out the pewter dragon with its emerald eyes. Incredible, you whisper. You turn the figure around your hand and study the details. You return the dragon into its compartment. One by one, you take out each figure and study it. Even though there's fucking werewolves nearby, you're an asshole. What the fuck are you doing with your time? There's a prince waving a crystal-bladed sword in the air, a ruby-studded castle, a diamond-eyed skeleton in a hooded cloak, and a magic sorceress holding a fiery crystal meth pipe above her head. They're all safe, Todd exclaims with his relief. He helps you put them back into the box and fucking closes that shit and stuff. But we're not safe, you say, and you turn to page 121. I'm close.
Yeah, you are.
I'm drinking.
I used to have lead figures for Dungeons and Dragons.
Nerd.
Yeah, you're such a nerd. I played a half-orc barbarian.
Yeah, you're not a nerd at all.
And
nerds don't play that character class. Really? Everyone knows. Okay, no, yeah.
Her name was Dorgla.
Wow.
The werewolves have all lowered their arms and turned at once. They're licking their bloodthirsty lips. Their eyes glow like flaming torches. One of their hairy beasts grabs Todd and breathes hot, stinky wolf breath in his face. By the way, I said beast instead of breasts, which I'm really proud of myself for. No! Please! Cries Todd. You can see tears gush from his wide eyes. You can have the collection! He tries to bargain. The werewolf snarls and bears pointed fangs, its mouth open wide enough to take Todd's whole fucking stupid head in one bite. How? 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 You howl. You try to draw the werewolf's attention away from Todd. It works. In fact, the whole pack of werewolves turns away from the Murphys and Todd. All werewolf eyes are on you, but you're ready for them. In one swift motion, you open the box and hold up the pewter sorceress. Their red eyes reflect off the crystal sun in the sorceress's hand. A blinding light is thrown back in the werewolf's eyes. The wolves step backwards. They try to escape the reflecting light rays. Can they? Turns out we just need to turn the page to find out. It's no use. The werewolves cannot fight the sorceress's crystal light. One by one, with a howl as empty and hopeless as the bottomless pit itself, each werewolf loses its balance. They all fall backwards into the endless nothing that is the pit. Falling, 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 landing, just kidding, falling. Forever, their howls rise to the open mouth of the pit, filling the cave and the deep, dark woods surrounding Woods World. The Murphys throw themselves at you with heartfelt thanks for saving their shitty lives. We'll always remember you for this, Sharky says with a cool-ass name. You too, Ner. I mean, hey, what's your name anyway? This is my good friend, Todd Morris, you say. You put your arm around Todd's shoulder. You and Todd take the red tin box and lead the way out of the cave. Nothing can frighten you or Todd now. Not the Murphys, not the werewolves, not your fucking creepy stepdad. You have faced every possible fear and conquered them all. For you, both this... for you both, this should be a very happy end. Woo-ha! Threw the book on the floor. That's my version of dropping the mic, because it's an expensive mic.
Right, you wouldn't want to drop that one.
So I did it. Connie, come here. Okay. Come here. So that was the end of that one. I liked it much better than the last goddamn Choose Your Own Adventure we did, which is not saying much. And I'm just going to need Connie to give me the final outro. Do you have any few words before she gives the spooky bitches?
Yeah, I'm saying that definitely listen to the Comics Online podcast with Dune and even me and even Connie. A lot of times, some of the best ones. And all the other podcasts that Dune is on.
But until then, all of you can
stay spooky, bitches.